several things go on in the church with families who had loved ones pass away, or there has been some illness, and I just didn't want to bring what I had to anyone else. And this has been kind of I've been in a timeout chair. Last weekend, my doctor told me to not talk, and so I've been trying to save my voice. Yeah, it isn't working out very good, but anyway, a week ago Thursday, one of the local schools, a teacher called me that teaches seventh grade, and she said, I would like you to come to our school and teach each one of our seventh grade classes about Christianity. And she said, in the past, I've had someone come and speak, and she said, she just tells them the Christmas story. But I would like you to talk to them about Christianity. And I thought, oh, wow. And my voice sounded like this. And she said, can you come? And I said, yes, I'll be there. So there were five classes that lasted 42 minutes each. Yeah. The last class, I talked like this. And I didn't talk much better than that for the first class. And I thought, oh my gosh, how are these seventh graders going to be able to hear me? And I think it was a blessing because they had to be really quiet or they couldn't hear me at all. And man, what an opportunity. I never thought in this day and time that I would have an opportunity like that. And then another thing, Lori Robinson, wave your hand, Lori. Lori called me and said, we have graduation services at Northwest State this weekend, and we would like someone to come and pray a prayer of blessing over the graduates. And yeah, I'm going to tell you what, if my doctor would have said to me, if you do these two things, you may never speak again, I would have had to study about it long and hard. I said, what an opportunity those two things were. I really felt blessed to be to have those opportunities. So now the reason I told you about that this morning is not only is that cool, but as I was getting ready to prepare for that, I asked Craig, my son, who's been working in children's ministry forever. I said, Craig, what do I talk to seventh graders about? How do I teach seventh graders? Now, Luann and I spent 13 years in youth ministry, but that was back in the caveman times. And so I wasn't sure that, and he said, you talk to them like you do adults. So that's what I did. And wow, it just was really effective. One student in the first class said this to me, do you have to say yes to Jesus before you can spend eternity in heaven? And I was able to use that question in every class to talk to them about making a commitment to Christ. And wow, what a neat opportunity. This morning, I'd like to share with you what I shared with them so that you get an idea how awesome it is that God opened these doors.
By the way, that was Paulding School, so if you yeah.
see
anybody in the Paulding area.
Yeah. And how this came about, it's a social studies class, and they're teaching religion in all of religions. And at Christmas time, the teacher schedules it, so it's Christianity at Christmas time. And then she come in and asked me to speak on Christianity. Okay, so here's what I talked to them. What is Christianity? What is it to be a Christian? And the Bible, the book of the record of Christianity, says that in the beginning there was God. Before there was anything else, there was God. And then God created. Now, to Christians, God created is a big deal. I mean, the implications of God created, I'm not sure that I think we just take that for granted. How many of you have ever done a study of the universe or ever looked at or watched a video about the universe? Now, all of you that are in a Bible study class on Wednesday night, we watched the study of the universe. I'm going to tell you what, the earth, it would be like the size of a pinhead on some of the planets that are created in the universe. I mean, the universe is huge. And in the beginning, God created all that is. Now, here's the important part. Then he created man and woman. And of all of his creation, those were the ones that he said were most special. When he created them, he looked down at them, he said, this is good. And then he gave us dominion over everything that he created. Do you know what dominion is? Yeah, that's a hard word to do. Dominion. Are you telling me that you don't use the word dominion in a sentence 4 or 5 times a day? Have you ever used the word dominion in your vocabulary? Yeah, me neither. He gave it to us. He created everything that is, created man and woman. And then he said, of all my creation, you are the most important. Here's your playground. Isn't it awesome? He gave us this creation as it's ours. Now, we're supposed to be responsible with it. I mean, we're not supposed to go out and destroy the thing that he created, but he created it for us, and we're important. So turn to your neighbor, the person next to you, and say, I'm pretty important. I'm pretty important. Do you know that you're special? God created. He created the universe. Then he created you. The Bible says, in fact, that he knew you in your mother's womb. How many of you ever seen a ultrasound of a baby in a mother's womb? Yeah, it looked like a peanut, don't it? I mean, you look at that and go, oh, yeah. And somebody there will tell you, that's the baby. And you go, okay. You know, and I'm thinking, well, I have to take your word for that. It looks like a peanut to me. I don't know what. And then, you know, as the baby develops and gets a little bit older, they show you another picture and they'll see right there is his little foot and right there is his little hand. Still look like a peanut to me. And then pretty soon, you know, you begin to see this baby take shape. But the Bible says that God knew you in your mother's womb. When you look like a peanut, God knew what you're going to be like. He knew that some of us were going to be short and wide. He knew that some of us were going to be tall and skinny. He knew that some of us were going to have less hair and some of us were going to have more hair. He knew that some of us would have a big nose and some a little nose. He created you just the way you are. And then he counted you in all your creation as the one most special. So God created. Say that with me. God created. And I want you to know that. God created. God chooses to reveal himself to people in 3 different ways. He reveals himself as God the Creator. He reveals himself as Jesus the Savior. And he reveals himself as the Holy Spirit, the guide. And God created is a big deal. So sometime when you're having your worst day, and you just think, gosh, I have blown it so bad. You did something that was like the champion of stupid. And you're thinking, I am just not worth anything. You need to remember that of everything that God created, he counted you the most special. God created. Jesus saves. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And then he created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. I think the Garden of Eden is like a revved up Hawaii, where there are no prices. You know, everything's free. He put them in the Garden of Eden, and he set them alone in the Garden of Eden. He'd come in the evening and would walk with them in the cool evening. Wouldn't that be awesome? People say to you, what are you doing tonight? Well, about 5 o'clock, me and God's going to take a walk. Oh, that'd be awesome. We're going to walk around the Garden of Eden here. Here's where we usually go. And he points out these things to me. And oh, wouldn't that be cool to live your life like that? We plant a garden, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden. And in the center of the garden, there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, you can do anything you want to in the Garden of Eden. Just don't eat the fruit of that tree. Guess what Adam and Eve did? They ate the fruit of the tree. When they ate the fruit of the tree, they had the knowledge of good and evil. And that may not seem important to you, but the knowledge of good and evil is pretty important. How many of you have ever seen something that was painted and there was a sign on it that said, wet paint? Yeah. What did you want to do? Touch it. Yeah. That's what happened in the tree when they ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. When they knew the difference between good and evil, all at once, evil became a temptation to them, where before they had the innocence of not even knowing what evil was. Now they have the knowledge between good and evil. And just because they have knowledge, it caused them to want to do evil. How many of you ever walked by an aquarium, had a sign on it that said, don't tap the glass? Yeah, what'd you want to do? And the fish goes, ah. But that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. They introduced good and evil into the Garden of Eden. Mom, would you come with me for a minute? I need you to help me for this next little thing here. This is my mom. She used to be 6'8". And then she had me, and the burden of her heart rolled away. Anyway. So, Mom, I want you to look around the room here. Just look around, just gaze around the room right here. By the way, there's your son. You see? Wait a minute. Yeah, that's a surprise. Anyway, look around the room here. Do you see anyone that's perfect?
Jesus is not here.
Jesus is not here. Yeah, right. Do you see anyone here that's perfect? This is completely perfect.
Only as much as I don't know them, I assume they're not.
You can look at some and say, I've never met you before in my life, but I know you ain't perfect. Yeah? So your answer is no.
Yeah.
Nope, nobody perfect. Okay, you can have a seat. Give my mom a hand. Thank you, Mom, for helping us out. Okay, so Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and have you ever heard of heaven and hell? You understand what I'm talking about? I want to talk about heaven and hell. I want you to understand this. Heaven is a place that you go to spend eternity when you die. Hell is a place that you go to spend eternity when you die. I think we think that when we die, we go to heaven for eternity. If we die and go to hell, it's just for a little bit, and then we're gone. Now, they're both for eternity. They're both for forever. Now, heaven, I do not believe, is a geographical location. I don't think that you can Google universe, punch a button, and it will give you a map, and you can get in your rocket ship and fly to heaven. I don't believe it works that way. What I believe is that heaven is the total and complete presence of God and all of his attributes. The Bible says to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. That's what heaven is and all of his attributes. Now, we know that the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is part of the person of the Godhead, as God reveals himself. So the fruit of the Spirit is peace, joy, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We know that. We know that God is love. God created us for love. He created us for fellowship with each other. So where there's God, there's all of those attributes. There's light, there's peace, there's kindness, there's goodness. On the other hand, where there is hell, hell is a complete absence and total absence of God in all of his attributes. So there is no God, so there's no peace, there's no goodness, there's no kindness, there's no light, there's no people, there's no fellowship, because God created us for fellowship. He created people to have friendships with. And so in order to spend eternity in the presence of God in heaven, that demands perfection, because God is perfect. And where there is God, there's perfection. And according to my mom, if you would go there, you would mess it up because you're not perfect. So look at your neighbor and say, I think we have a problem. Yeah, because you can't spend eternity in heaven without being perfect, and you're imperfect. So God sent his son, a savior. He sent him to this earth so that we could have an opportunity to spend eternity with God in perfection, God of perfection, with all of his attributes. And isn't that an awesome thing? God gave his son to us as a gift to cover our sins, our separation from God, tap on the glass, that kind of thing, so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. And I think that's an awesome thing. That's why at Christmas time, we give each other gifts. It's because what we're doing is we're demonstrating the idea that God gave us a gift and his perfect son. So to get that idea, to get that separation, to kind of get the idea of what it's like in our need for a savior, I'd like to tell you a story. It kind of explains grace. Let me ask you something. I don't want to pick on somebody that never been picked on before. The kids want to. I'm going to ask you this question. It's a really hard question. Just give me an honest answer, okay? Can you explain to us what grace is? Yeah. Maybe I should bring her with me to teach you. Tell me, grace. Awesome answer. I like grace. No test. I promise you, there's no pass or fail here. Nobody's going to laugh at you or make fun of you. Yeah. How many of you, if I would say to you, what's grace, you would go, grace is hard to explain. You did an awesome job, by the way. At peace, good job. Yeah. Grace is a hard concept to understand, isn't it? It's a God thing. The angel brought us grace. I like that because grace is a God thing. Let me help you understand grace with a story. Some of you heard this story before. When I was in high school, I played football. And the coach had a rule in football, and he was big on curfew. And if you were late for curfew, when you came in the next day, there was some way that he knew about that. I don't know how, but he knew if you were late for curfew. And he would make you run 5 laps around a football field. I mean, and you had to run, man. It'd just dog you out. And so I had just met Lou Ann, and we met when we were in high school sweethearts, got married. So I had just met her, just started dating her, was playing football. And we're out on a date, and the curfew's at 10 o'clock, but it's like 9:45, and I think, if I spend about 15 more minutes with her, I'm going to get a kiss, and that's what I was looking for. And so I had a decision to make. Do I spend the time and get the kiss, or do I not spend the time and get in on curfew on time? And so what do you think I did? Yeah, I spent the time. I got the kiss. And the next day, I go to football practice. The coach calls me over. He said, Bagley. And I run up to him. Yes, sir. And he said, you were late for curfew last night, weren't you? And I don't know how he knows, but somehow he knows. And I said, yeah, I was. And he said, hit it. And I go out and start running laps. What I just described to you is justice. Justice is getting everything that you've got coming to you. And I want you to know this, in the economy of God and Christianity, you don't want what you got coming to you. Because you deserve justice. But you don't want it. Let me give you another scenario. It's 9:45 at night. I'm out on a date with Luann. I know that if I spend about 15 more minutes, I might get a kiss. And I really want the kiss, but I got a decision to make. It's either get the kiss and be late for curfew, or don't give the kiss and make curfew. What do you think I did? I got the kiss. I did. I got the kiss. I stayed and got the kiss. And so, next day, I get to football practice, and the coach, Bagley, come here. And I run over to him. I say, yes, sir. And he says, you were late for curfew last night, weren't you? I don't know how he knows, but somehow he knows. And I said, yes, sir. And he says, hit it. And I start running laps. But after 2 laps, he stops me and he says, that's enough. Go join the team. What I just described to you there is mercy. Mercy is not getting everything you deserve. Mercy is getting less than what you deserve. It's better than justice. That we always holler, I want justice, not fair. Now, you know, justice is the last thing you want, but God gives us mercy. Sometimes you get less than what you got coming to you. Let me describe one more scenario. 9:45 at night, I'm out with Luann. I know that if I spend about 15 more minutes, I think I can get a kiss, and I really want that kiss, but I also know I'll be late for curfew. I got a choice to make. It's either the kiss or be on time for curfew. And so what do you think that I did? You know me now, don't you? Yeah, I stayed. I got the kiss. I get to football practice the next day. Coach says, Bigley, come over here. And I run over to him and say, yes, sir. And he said, you were late for curfew last night, weren't you? I don't know. I know. But somehow he knows. And I said, yes, sir. And he says, hit it. But just as I get ready to run the laps, he stops me and he says, I'll run the laps for you. Now, I don't know about you. I've never had a coach that would run my laps because I broke the rules. But let me ask you this. Who made the rules? The coach did, didn't he? Who broke the rules? I did. So who decided that I would run the laps? I did. What I just described to you is grace. Grace is where you broke the rules. You're imperfect. Mom said that. You broke the, you tapped on the glass, man. You touched the paint. You broke the rules. And you knew of the rules that are clearly stated. And so you deserve justice, but God went beyond mercy and gave us grace. He sent his son to run our laps so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. Jesus saves. God does what? God does what? What do you remember in the beginning? God creates and Jesus saves, right? And the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Let me ask you, we should have left the kids in here because I love their answers. They just answer you. And you ask them a question, they just answer you. They feel non-threatened by anybody, peer pressure or anything like that. Now, let me ask you this. Marty, growing up, where did you get your rules? Where did you get your standard for living? Where did they come from? From your parents, yeah. As you got a little bit older, what other kind of influence come in to set your standards? Church, that's a good one. What else? School, yeah. Somebody else said what? Peer pressure, people around you, yeah. When you tapped on the glass, were you around somebody? When you touched the paint, was there somebody with you? I mean, you'd have probably done it without it, right? But if there's somebody with you, you probably took turns tapping the glass. Ooh, look at that. And the fish in there having heart attacks. You know, everybody there had paint on their finger. Here's what I see when I see, here's what I feel, or my mind does when I see a sign that says wet paint. I think, they probably painted that 2 hours ago. It's probably dry by now. My responsibility to touch it and take the sign off, you know, because it's dry now, or else they cross the wet out and write dry on it or something, because they're just waiting on someone like me to clear this up for everybody else. Yeah, right. But we're imperfect people that's bound for eternity with a perfect God. And there's a problem because we need perfection. And we've got these life rules. How do you decide between right and wrong? Well, we got our parents. And I hope they've taught us good, don't you? Oh, geez, I can remember some of the things that my parents taught me. Mom was pretty good. Dad was out in left space. I'm not kidding you. My dad took me to dynamite the river once. I'll never forget that. That was one of the most fun things I ever did in my life. And every time I go fishing now, I think, you know, I could save a lot of time with a stick of dynamite right here. And, there were some things where the guys that I hung around with, the people that I hung around with in high school, oh, my gosh. I mean, we did some crazy things when we were in high school. Most of what we did for fun are felonies today. I remember one time we broke into the school, and we went to my cousin's house. He had this huge barn, and we climbed up in the hayloft. And you know if you shine a flashlight in a pigeon's eyes, it'll just stand there? I mean, it just froze, man. You shine a bright light in their eyes, and they just, like that. You reach out, just grab them. We put 200 of them in gunny sacks and took them into school and put them in the lockers. Oh, that was just awesome. That was so cool. On Monday morning when people opened lockers, pigeons went everywhere. I mean, they were all over the place. You remember, Luann, they sent us out in the front lawn of the school, dismissed the whole high school, put us out in the front yard till they chased pigeons out of the school. It was just cooler than heck. We failed to realize, though, we put them in there on a Friday night. We failed to realize that pigeons will poop a lot from Friday night till Monday. And that was kind of that was the bad part of it. But you know, if you did that today, breaking into a federal building, I'm talking like a class 1 felony. I mean, destroying school property? Oh, my gosh. I mean, you spend from, yeah, that's like some serious prison time. By the way, the principal knew who it was that did that. I mean, he knew all those. Because that was just way too good to not tell people. You know, it was like, who put the pigeons in school? I was in on that, man. That was, and they would tell you, good deal, man. That was awesome. So we went up to the principal's office, and the principal was Bill Parrott, Mom. You remember Bill? Bill and Mom went to school together and stuff, and he lived close to us and our families, you know, kind of did stuff when they were growing up. And we went into the office, and here we are, and you know, there's about six or eight of us in there. And he's telling us, you know, you should do something. Well, I got to look at all this cost and all this work and everything. And then he goes like this. And he said, guys, that was a good one. That was really, really funny. That was good. And then he got serious and he said, if you ever do anything like that again, I'll kill you. I'll just wipe you off the face of the earth. And we were afraid that's what he was going to do anyway. So, you know, that was pretty cool. Now, yeah, that's besides. There are influences that come about us that are a mess. And the Holy Spirit guides us. Now, if you would ask somebody, what's the Holy Spirit like? They would probably say to you something like, the Holy Spirit's like your conscience. Your conscience, dude, caused you to tap on the glass. Your conscience caused you to touch the wet paint. And so the Holy Spirit's got to be more than your conscience. We need more in our life. We need more than our... Some people say, well, I count on the law to set my standards for me. And some people say, well, I count on society to set my standards for me. Well, guys, we need more. By the way, do you know that society and the law says infidelity is okay? Matter of fact, just in recent years, in my lifetime, the law about infidelity has changed. When I was young, if somebody messed around with your wife, it is okay for you to beat the tar out of them. They take you to court for that, and the judges say, dude, you got to come and get out of here. You need to get rid of that lawyer. You got it. You mess with somebody else's wife, it's over. Now the law protects infidelity. It makes it easy. There's got to be more than society. That's to be more than the law. That's to be more than your conscience. So God sends us the Holy Spirit. Do you know that this Bible is clear full of instructions on how to live life? The God that created everything that is gave us this instruction book for us to live life by. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of memorization. Would you like to memorize this whole thing? Like you just got the whole thing memorized and you got total recall so that the next time you get ready to get in trouble, you can go, oh, wait a minute, the Bible says not to do this. And you know right where it's at and you recall it just that instant and you go, so I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I don't know about you, but my memory, I don't even remember what I had for breakfast. Jeez, I remember what happened 30 years ago. I remember dynamite in the river like it was yesterday. But I don't remember what I had for breakfast. I can't count on my memory to do that. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. So God does what? God creates. Jesus does what? And the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit lives within us, giving us direction about how to live God's life. So as we study the Word, the Holy Spirit like implants it in our hearts. Do you know that there's a passage of Scripture that says, bad company corrupts good character? You know how valuable that is? Does anybody know what character is? Character is one of those words about as hard to describe as grace. What's character? I mean, it was like, what is a reputation? A good character. You know how you get good character? Read James, 1 James, first chapter of James. Tell you how you get good, correct character. In Corinthians, I remember one of the passages of Scripture, I think it's in James, it says this, I consider it pure joy when I suffer trials of many kinds. Pure joy when I suffer trials of many kinds. It's like you fall down, break your leg, jump up, go, whee! Yeah! Well, what James is talking about is when we suffer those trials, good things follow that because we suffered a trial. When we survive those tough things, we can look back on those tough things and see that God's faithful. He's there with us. We've survived those. We've made it through those things. That's good character. Man, you're not to get good character, you have to suffer many things and survive them. And then you suffer many more things and survive them. You suffer more and more things and survive them. Pretty soon you got a good character. People look at you and go, dude, that guy right over there, he's a good guy. You know how come I know? Because there was something awful happened to him. And look where he's at. This is the kind of guy you can go to on your worst day that you've had in your life. And you go to him, just attack him. It's like he's a punching bag or something. Just light into him like crazy. And when you're all done, he looks at you and goes, what's wrong? You having a bad day or something, buddy? Need a hug? What's up? That's character. That's someone with a good character. And the Bible says you hang out with some bad company, it destroys a good character. Stop and think about that for a minute. Man, you worked all of this time. You went through all these troubles and trials to build this character. And hanging out with one bad guy just destroyed it in a minute. I don't know about you, but I need to know that. I need to understand that. I need to take the advice from the Bible and choose more carefully who I hang around with. Because bad company corrupts good character. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of that. Helps us rid ourselves from the things that are evil in our lives. Let me tell you a story, and I end with this, that helps us understand the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that date night is one of the most important things you can do in a marriage. Man, don't neglect a date night. I don't care if you've been married 50 years. You need to date, and you need to do it on a regular basis. Now, listen, a date don't have to be, you know, a night where you spend a couple hundred bucks on a dinner and a movie or, you know, something like that. A date needs to be the time that you and your spouse can spend some time face-to-face talking about life with each other, intimate things, you know, things that are important to each other's lives. So Luann and I are on a date one night. And how many of you remember the magic walk out on Clinton Street over by, I think there's a car lot there now across from the college? Magic walk used to be there. Only way I can describe magic walk is a Chinese food McDonald's. I mean, you walked up to the counter at the magic walk and had this menu. It was on a neon sign behind the counter. And you would order your food and they would give it to you in styrofoam plates and plastic forks. And you take it back to the booth yourself and sit down. Well, Luann and I went into the magic walk one night. And Luann, she's really picky about what she eats. She likes certain foods, done a certain way. And I'll eat anything. I'm not kidding you. I'll run it down. If I catch it, I eat it. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not particular. I mean, look at me. Do I look like I'm a picky eater? So we go to the magic walk, and Luann looks up the menu, and she says, I like Mongolian beef. And that's what I want, but I'd like to try that spicy chicken, but I'm afraid I won't like it. And she said, so here's what you do. You order the spicy chicken, I'll order the Mongolian beef. If we get it and I like it, I'll eat the spicy chicken. You can eat the Mongolian beef. I said, wait, that works for me. I'll eat anything. I don't care. So that's what we ordered. Luann went back to sit down in the booth. We're on a date. I mean, she's looking good. She's hot mama. I pray a prayer every once in a while. Lord, thank you for my smoking hot wife. I appreciate her. So Luann's sitting in the booth there, and I bring the tray back, you know, and it's, you know, on her styrofoam plates. And you know, she looked at it before we even separated. She said, I don't want that spicy chicken. It just doesn't look like something I want. And I said, well, I'll eat it. You know, it's good for me. So we put her plates there. And I grabbed a shovel full of rice on my spork. What kind of rice is that we like? Fried rice. So I had fried rice, and there's leeks and water chestnuts and stuff. And so I'm like shoveling up all of those things, and I get a big old heap and teaspoon or a sporkful of that. And over here on the sides, these three little purple things, and they're about twice the size of a pencil lead. Spicy chicken. I thought it was probably peppers. I like hot stuff. So I stabbed one of those peppers on there, not that long, and I stuck that in my mouth, and I bit down, chewed a little bit, and I started to swallow, and it got right there. And my body said, get it out! Get it out! and I'm not kidding you, I locked up. There was no swallowing. There was no, it's like something from clear in here. Just get it out. And I put my hand over my mouth because here, like this far away, sat the love of my life. And there she says, she's dressed up. It's date night, man. She's got on nice clothes. Her hair's just right. Makeup's just right, you know. And I've got this rice that's fixing to come out of my mouth. And I put my hand over my mouth to stop. It's like a pop-off valve on a hot water heater. It just rice just went. It just went. And I'm not kidding you. Rice went everywhere. And I can remember that like it was yesterday. The first blast of rice hit the table and glanced off, just bounced right up on her. I mean, right on her face. She had rice on her cheeks, rice in her hair, rice all over her clothes. I had rice on the back of my head. I know how we got. That was rice. I had rice coming out of my ears, and I thought, "Oh my God, I've destroyed my wife." I couldn't even talk. My body was locked up. And Luann, being the godly woman that she is, fell over in that booth and started slapping the booth and laughing like a hyena. I mean, she is carrying on, and everybody in the place turned and looked at us. And, you know, I'm looking around, and I got rice on my ears and that just rice everywhere. I couldn't say anything. It just had, it had flat burnt me up. I'm not kidding. That. All I could do was go, ha, ha, ha. That is how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The gift of the Holy Spirit in us being our guide when we go to do those things that are against God's laws just says to us, get it out, and causes us to distance ourselves from those things that are bad, those things that don't work well in our lives, those things that God's word says that we ought to do. So in Christianity, Christ followers, that's why we're called Christians. In Christianity, God does what? And Jesus does what? And the Holy Spirit guides. I asked the kids that day, when I was a kid, and way before junior high, grade school, we used to tear off a little slip of paper, and we write on it, I love you, do you love me? Check the box. And we make two little boxes. One said yes, one said no. And you roll them up and slide them over to somebody. Sometimes you do that and not even tell them who it was because you're too afraid. You know, they might say no. They get it and they look at it and go, boom, wonder who this is from. You know, you did no good at all. I asked the kids if they did that. They looked at me like I was from outer space. And the teacher said, they don't do that anymore, Max. They just ask each other. Huge risk, right? Huge risk. I mean, you talk about a chance of dejection. But that's what God did with you. He took all the risk. He wrote you a love letter. And it says, I love you. And he sealed it with his son. Check the box. Yes or no. You know, that little boy asked me at the end of the first time that I taught. He said, Mister, if I don't check the box, do I have to do that before I can go to heaven? Yeah. Listen, God created this universe. Then he created you to be just exactly the way you are. And then he gave you the world as his playground, or as your playground. And he counted you special. And he said through his word, I want a loving relationship with you more than anything else. Will you love me? We need to check the box. And I pray that you will. This holiday season, there's nothing more in our face than a Savior. And I'm really glad for that. By the way, thank you for being so attentive. What happened is what I thought would happen by the end. I barely have a voice. As we were singing this morning, I thought, man, I wish I could sing, but I just have no voice for it. You know what would be worse? To have a voice and have no desire. I pray that you have a desire for God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you create. Just the idea that you created us for a purpose, on purpose. Lord, it's just so encouraging that you counted us special. What an awesome thing. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus saves. There's no gift that's greater than that. Lord, we know we know we're flawed. We know that there are things within us that are imperfect. And in order to be in the presence of a perfect God, your solution, Lord, is amazing. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Because we confess to you that given of ourselves, we would just make mistake after mistake, that we blunder into all kinds of messes. Lord, we thank you for the guide that you give us in the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that hasn't said yes to you yet, that, Lord, that they would do that, that they would say yes. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.